Testing is, as I said, a real source of anxiety for a lot of kids. And obviously, you all found it to be a market to develop a business. So, Charles, talk a little bit about your background and how the company, you know, came to be.
Well, my background is I was an attorney in Washington, D.C. for 7 or 8 years after clerking on the D.C. circuit. And I didn't like being a lawyer and left and really wanted to be a teacher and started teaching high school and a range of topics. And then ended up deciding for a lot of reasons that I wanted to move into tutoring. And I tutored for a company in New York doing standardized tests and some academic tutoring for a few years, really one of the best tutoring companies in New York. And, and then Elaine and I decided we should start our own business, and we moved to Atlanta and decided to set up Access Test Prep and Tutoring and do it in kind of a unique way that built a little bit on what I had learned before, but really brought in some new ideas for tutoring and a lot of Elaine's ideas about how to collaborate and work well with other people.
Yes. And Elaine, a little bit about your background. You're also an attorney, correct?
Yes, I'm also an attorney. My initial background was marketing, and then I decided to go to law school at the age of 32.
Good
and in
you.
Law school, I fell madly in love with alternative dispute resolution and mediation. And what I discovered when I learned how to mediate was that and mediation, for people who don't know, is just third-party facilitated collaborative negotiation. But I realized that the skills were so teachable and really much needed in the corporate environment. And I could also see, this was back in the early 2000s, that technology was going to diminish our human contact and therefore affect our communication skills. So I started a consulting practice where I went back into the corporate environment and taught executives, physicians, engineers, the art of collaborative negotiation. And it's a mindset and a language. And now what I've done is, given my role at Access Test Prep, and I'm so involved in this business as well, I have decided to bring collaborative negotiation to Access Test Prep in the form of training all our tutors in collaborative negotiation. I'm continually coaching them as to how to build, you know, collaborative partnerships with their students and the students' parents, as well as I've now launched Access Resume Interview and Negotiation Prep, which is helping students who are applying to college and grad school with building a resume that speaks to their strengths, and then we work on their interviewing skills for college and grad school. That's what we've launched this past year, and we're very excited about it.
Yes, absolutely. So really, you collaborated your combined skill sets, the two of you, to really provide a broad range of opportunities for students. So, Charles, what do you find is the biggest obstacle for students to overcome when it comes to test prep and taking the SATs and ACTs and others?
I think there's a couple of things, but I think one of the big things is just a lack of familiarity and lack of understanding how to approach the tests. Standardized tests are really different from the tests most students get in school, even when it's even when it is a multiple choice test in school. The way standardized tests work and the way students need to think for them is different from what they're used to, and it doesn't come naturally to most students. And so it's sort of overcoming a lot of what they've learned in school, which obviously is important, but it doesn't help on these tests. And it's teaching them to approach them differently and think about them differently. And once they do that, students generally can do a lot better. And we have a way of breaking things down and simplifying and making the test less intuitive and more of a step-by-step approach, so students who aren't naturally good at them can be successful.
Right.
But it's introducing them to just a new way of thinking about material that's otherwise similar to what they've seen before.
Right. Okay, so how long, I mean, that takes time. So what is an average period of time that a student works with your company?
Well, that's a great question, but it's complicated. It varies a lot. It depends on the test, and it depends on the student, where they're starting from, and where the student is trying to get to, and how much effort they put in. And so we tend to work with students relatively long term compared to some other companies, because we're really trying to make a significant difference to their scores.
Right.
But we have students who are close to where they want to be when they're starting out, and it might be a few months, and we have students who really struggle with these tests and are trying to make major gains in where they are, and sometimes we work with them for a year or more, and
wow.
it really depends on the student and the family and what they're looking to accomplish.
Yes, and you mentioned the effort on behalf of the student. I mean, the student has to do the work in between. So do you find that most students do rise to that task, or is that a struggle?
It's usually not a struggle. It actually goes better than I would have expected. I think a lot of our students come in pretty motivated already. They're starting to think about college or graduate school, and they know this is important.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who don't, we find that, first, we have our tutors. All of our tutors are great at motivating students. Part of what we look for, aside from their being great at these tests, is they have to be able to motivate the students and work well with them. And it's generally not that hard to get the student more excited about the process, particularly because we show them pretty quickly that they really can do better. And once they see that they can do better and be successful, and they know it, start to realize how important it is for what they're applying for, most of them are pretty motivated.
Yes.
So occasionally we get someone who's a little more of a struggle, and that's part of, you know, that's part of the job, and we work with it, but mostly it goes pretty well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you mentioned the tutors, and Elaine, I know that you all look for top-notch tutors and then put them through a considerable training period themselves. Can you expound on that?
Yes. I actually do most of the recruiting for the tutors. Charles and I make the final decision together, but I do the initial bringing them in. And we are very selective about who we even interview.
Mm-hmm.
They have to clear the 99th percentile hurdle on any test they seek to teach. Sometimes we hire academic tutors, and we require them to be subject matter experts in their area of that they want to tutor. So, for instance, we would have a biochemist, you know, tutoring chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
People that really know what they're talking about.
Right.
The way I ask the question to them is, what can you tutor academically with your eyes closed right now?
Yes.
And if they confidently say they can tutor their subject, then that's a good indication that we're moving in the right direction.
Yes.
And we want people that can have the potential and are very good at building relationships with their students, because that's where the motivation piece really plays a huge role.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, because I'm not so sure that I've ever heard it articulated that way. You know, it's usually tutor teaching the subject matter, but the human component of it and building the relationship is so, so important. So you think that's a differentiating factor with your company versus other companies?
Yes, I think it is. It is a big, big point of difference, and we actually continue that when we continue working with students on their interview skills for college interviews or grad school interviews, and that whole idea of building a relationship with them and earning their trust so that we can teach them how to build a relationship with the person who's interviewing them. That's
exactly
a big part of interviewing in and of itself.
Exactly. Okay.
Liz, I sort of see the tutors, when they're tutoring more of the academic and standardized tests, as not just tutors and teachers, but in a way they're coaches and they're psychologists, and there's a little bit of a lot of things put in.
Yes.
To get motivated when we're working with them long term, and to really get to know how they think and adapt to how they think. And we have a program and a basic way of approaching things, but in the end, everything's very individualized, because we're really trying to get the most out of each individual student.
That must be very rewarding to see the student, you know, kind of come to life under your tutelage.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They bloom, and they often come back and call after they've left, and we actually do a lot of academic tutoring when they're in college. They call us back to help them in college.
Only if you had been around when I was coming up. But I think this is great to know about. I am talking with Charles Mendels and Elaine Rosenblum. They're a husband-wife team and the co-founders of Access Test Prep and Tutoring. They're based in Atlanta, but as I understand it, you do tutor students from the Athens area as well, and other places.
We do. We have students who come to our offices in Atlanta from a really wide radius. We have students who've come from Athens and from Noonan and
Columbus.
Columbus and really all over. And in addition, when students are a little further or even sometimes at those distances, we tutor quite a bit over Skype.
Oh, wow.
And we have sort of set up a process where we get them the materials they need, and we can not just see them, but they can we can write on, you know, write on the screen so they can see the what we're figuring out, and it works really well. And some of the students at a middle distance, like Athens, it ends up being a mixture where they come in as much as possible, but we end up doing some of the tutoring over Skype also.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, that's a good part of technology that we can do that now. Are you available on weekends and in the evenings?
We are.
We're actually,
you know, our tutors
7 days
student schedules. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of. We have a small group of really talented tutors, and their hours vary. But a lot of us work evenings, and mm-hmm. some of the tutors work weekends, and we fit it in when students need us.
Right. And how many tutors do you have, Elaine?
I'm roughing this out because it is a fluid list.
Yes.
We're actually interviewing and hiring as we speak. I'm going to say roughly 20 to 22 mm-hmm. right now.
Yep.
And
wow.
We're expanding. And I just wanted to jump back to, you know, I know we're talking to an Athens audience. We are tutoring people, ironically, and all our marketing is word of mouth. We're tutoring people in South America. We've tutored people from South Africa. Charles, I think you're tutoring somebody in England right now.
My
is that right?
Goodness.
Yeah, I've
all over
London
Skype.
And we don't,
all by word of
totally
mouth.
Word of mouth. We don't do any marketing or advertising other.
Success you know. Breeds success.
Yeah, so.
We're very
and
proud
it works
of
well.
That.
I mean, my student in London, it's. You know, we get her materials, and I talk to her over Skype, and it's really no different than if she were half an hour away.
That is so interesting. Well, what about students with learning difficulties? You know, everything from ADD to, you know, maybe something else that's not major, but just enough that impairs their, you know, ability to think critically. Can you help them as well?
We work with a lot of students with a variety of learning disabilities. It's I would estimate roughly 20% of our students have learning disabilities, and I think it's not that we set out to design a program specifically for those students, but the way we tend to approach material,
mm-hmm.
where we're really breaking it down and doing things in a step-by-step way and doing a very individualized approach where we can do a lot of repetition when necessary and we have a lot of tutors who have a lot of experience with students with mm-hmm. learning disabilities. So it ends up being a significant number of our students, and we have a lot of success with them, as much success with those students as we have with all of our other students who really range in abilities from
wow.
very, very strong academically to ones who struggle mm-hmm. a little more.
Actually, Liz, to build on what Charles is saying, I am actually dyslexic. So when
wow.
I'm interviewing the tutors, I'm actually looking for their ability to explain complicated concepts to me.
How interesting. Well, on a personal note, how did you deal with being dyslexic? I mean, you've accomplished so much. You've been to law school. You've launched this company. What tips would you have for people, you know, who are dealing with dyslexia?
I would say get the right kind of tutoring mm-hmm. and get somebody that can explain and break down the material in a very methodical way, in a way that you can understand.
Right.
And having somebody, a tutor who can notice when you may not be getting the material. Some students don't have the confidence to say, you know, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tutor has to take on that role as well and really, really suss out the situation and read facial language and make sure that the student really is comprehending.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look for that ability when I'm recruiting.
Right.
And that's part of the whole collaborative negotiation piece mm-hmm. of the training.
Very interesting and good to know. And when you say, you know, that you can understand, I think it obviously implies that you all work very, very closely one-on-one and you can pick up on those subtle cues.
absolutely. It's very difficult to do that in a classroom, and that is why the one-on-one model is so comprehensive mm-hmm. and appealing, especially for a learning disabled student. We actually just did a program with the Skang School, which is a school that is solely for dyslexic students. Mm. It's around the corner from our office, and they selected us to help them with their students that are outplacing.
Wow.
It's a school whose goal is to, outplace their students and put them back into mainstream mm-hmm. schools.
Interesting.
We've done a lot of that work as well.
So your services are very comprehensive. Well, Charles, how would you sum up your philosophy for Access Test Prep and Tutoring?
How would I sum up our philosophy? I think our philosophy is really trying to provide the highest level of service and the best tutoring possible to work with individual students and get the most out of them and do it in a way that they will not only they appreciate, so we don't feel like we're dragging them in here, but do it in a way that will carry through to other things in their lives.
Yes.
We even when I'm tutoring someone for the SAT, I often hear from the student or the parent that it carries over into their study habits and mm-hmm. into their classwork generally and into their ability to think critically. And I think even though when we're focused on a particular test and that's the priority, we try to do things in a way where it really helps them more in a more general way.
Right, and so important that you just, carry it beyond getting it through the SAT on that given Saturday. So very, very interesting. Now, obviously, this costs money. So pricing scales, are they accessible on your website? What are they? And do you ever work with people who can't, meet the fee?
We do. We basically have I don't think our prices are specifically on our website, because the way we charge is essentially we charge by the hour,
mm-hmm.
and our tutors' rates vary depending on their level of experience.
Right.
And the program varies a lot. We don't have particular packages, mm-hmm. but we also don't ask for a commitment from families, because we don't want people to work with us if they're not happy, and generally everyone stays with us anyway. So
right.
we our tutors have hourly rates, and we design a program to fit each student's need,
mm-hmm.
and we have frequently in the past worked with students who couldn't afford
mm-hmm.
our rates. We've done it both on an individual basis, and we've also done it through several of the schools in our area where we work with some of their students who couldn't afford the tutoring, or sometimes with private schools, some of the students who are on financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for a way to kind of include as many people as we reasonably can.
Right. Okay, in closing, Elaine, interview tips and things of that nature, which, are hitting at the heart of what so many people are doing, no matter what age. They always need to know how to interview better. What are some of your top tips?
I would say preparation, mm-hmm. preparation, preparation.
Yes.
And
also preparation, exactly. Just in the interviewing I'm doing with tutors, I am often surprised when I say to a potential tutor, have you been to our website?
Yes.
And exactly. When the person says no, despite the fact they might have incredible skill sets, it is a red flag to
mm-hmm.
me that they didn't spend enough time finding out about us and who. You got to know who you're talking to in order to be a good interviewer.
Right.
And so study your target audience. That is, I'm pulling back from my marketing career. And you have to know who you're speaking to and understand their philosophy and sort of, present yourself and your strengths in terms of the hiring organization's mm-hmm. needs. I think people miss that.
Yes.
And the other thing I think that interviewees often need help with is understanding how their past experience, especially young people, how their past experience is valuable to the organization they're interviewing with.
Exactly.
And that is something I spend a lot of time making that translation for them. Somebody could work at, you know, a burger shack and say, oh, well, I was, you know, I just worked at the burger shack. And I said, well, were you the person that closed up at night? Were you the person that cashed out the cash register?
Right.
And I say, well, what were the daily receipts? And they say $3,000. And I say, somebody entrusted you with $3,000 to go put it in the bank. That's a big deal, and that says a lot on a resume.
Yeah,
so you got to think about it in those terms.
Well, that's right, and that's invaluable advice. You know, people just when they say, "I just did that," everything is a value-added experience. You just have to spin it that way or look at it that way and be able to articulate it. So, what valuable services that you all offer? And I know we could go on, but Charles, in closing, anything you'd like to say about Access Test Prep and Tutoring? If someone is out there and you know, needing some direction besides come to you.
Well, I think if they look at our website, it's accesstestprep.com. There's a lot more information, but we really tutor a broad range of subjects, almost any standardized test in most academic subjects from kids up through college level. Mm-hmm. And
so we're talking middle school through college and grad school.
Yes.
And we have, you know, really skilled tutors who are great at tutoring and great at connecting with students, but we'll individualize a program. We do what's best for each individual student to really help them attain their potential.
Yes, excellent. My last question, slightly unrelated. I've always been interested when husbands and wives can work together, but you all seem to do it well. What advice do you have on that end?
I don't know.
I want to hear what Charles is going to say.
I think some families it would work, and some families it doesn't. And,
that's right.
You know, it's sometimes it has its advantages and disadvantages, I think.
Exactly. I would think so. Well, I thank you both, Charles Mendels and Elaine Rosenblum. I've been talking to them. They run a company called Access Test Prep and Tutoring. We'll have their web information on our website at wgauradio.com. Charles and Elaine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.